Welcome to Galaxy's Greatest, a Starfinder RPG actual play podcast trailing the adventures of a distant galaxy's greatest heroes. My name is Emma, and I'm the GM, leading my players through drift space and beyond as they overcome extraordinary challenges and uncover the galaxy's deepest secrets. Last time, Snazdaka, Emmett, and Malika wound up in the Shadow Plane. Graham and his Shadow Curse, the little girl accompanying him, explained that they were stuck there. Emmett, in an effort to free Graham of the curse, struck down the child. An ethereal wolf lurked in the distance.
Cool. How we doing?
It's really hot.
Yeah, it's hot down here, too. What are you guys looking at? What's your temperature?
It wasn't too bad here.
Yeah.
Today. Hey, Siri, how hot is it outside? Right now, it's 88, according to Siri.
That's pretty warm.
It is supposed to be upper 90s, low 100s tomorrow.
Okay.
In the Pacific Northwest!
Yeah.
That's not
but we haven't had enough heat this summer.
That is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes. Is it hotter in other places? Yes. But do those other places, by and large, have air conditioning and other infrastructure set aside for it? Also, yes. Of course, by the time that the listeners are listening to this, we might have already entered the Mad Max Heat Dome Death Spiral, and therefore, it won't matter.
Better start building your car.
No. My gosh. Okay, that's a good question. What would you have on your Mad Max car?
Lots of spikes.
Yeah.
I know that inside the car, I would build a urine purifier to get more of that sweet, sweet water.
That's a good idea. Okay.
Maybe a desalinization, like, pump?
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I'm on the ocean. I might make a boat a la Waterworld instead of a Mad Max car. I think I'd rather live on the ocean than on the desert.
Oh, 100%. And that way you can stick to relatively close to land.
Yeah. Far away from cities, but close to land.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I don't know why I need to stay far away from cities. It's not like this is the zombie apocalypse or anything.
Yeah,
don't say that.
People with guns will be.
Yeah, that's fair. Although, if you listen to the people in my area, those people up in Seattle, they don't know anything about guns.
Oh, man. That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's silly.
It's pretty silly.
Right.
Okay, zooming in, looking at our good buddy, good buddy, who is not going to murder us.
What's his name again? With that good buddy?
Our good buddy, Ham Gray.
Oh, okay, that's the one. Got it.
At least as far as Emmett is aware, his name is Ham Gray.
Yeah. Old Ham Gray.
I guess, is Ham Gray looking a little grayer than normal right now? We are, like, in the Shadow Fell or Shadow Plane or whatever?
No, he doesn't look, like, extra normal or extra he doesn't look abnormal. He looks like Ham Gray.
He looks extra normal.
You know what? describe for the listeners again, what does Graham look like?
Yeah, Graham is very tall, very long-limbed as a result of growing up in Zero G. He has black hair with a streak of white through it. He's wearing pretty cool, like almost Mandalorian-esque armor. And he's got a big old rifle somewhere on him, probably.
Cool. All right.
Not that I would ever use a Disney property. Please, Mouse, don't sue us.
I was listening to the Androids and Aliens episodes where they just like talk on and on and on about Jedi, and they're like, "Oh yeah, 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 like the Force, like yeah. Jedi, like in like in Star Wars."
Like that's the one that Skid like freaks out on, right?
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's a good episode.
Yeah. All right, so you guys want to jump into this? We gonna do this? Okay. We rolled initiative at the beginning of, or at the end of the last session.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, we did. I mean, did. Shoot. I mean,
I'm pretty sure I rolled a 40.
You rolled an 11.
So. Oh.
I'm almost positive I rolled a 4.
You rolled a 9.
Well, that's higher than I expected.
A 4 on the dice. There you go.
Nope, I have a +0 to initiative, so I must have rolled a 9.
Graham rolled a 26.
That sounds more correct.
Which is great for you guys. Just wonderful. And then, yeah, so that's where we're at.
I mean, if Mitch learned anything about Graham, all we have to do is rush him and get right up in his business, and he will be able to do nothing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what one would think, right?
I don't like how you said that.
Yeah, me neither.
So, I really don't like how you said that.
So, you're going to hate me.
Wait.
What?
Before we start,
uh-huh.
Should I grab an emotional support kitten to pet?
Of course. Of course. You know what? I might grab an emotional support tequila at some point. Not yet. So I support your emotional support kitten.
Yeah, if I had alcohol, I would have emotional support alcohol right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I only have a kitten.
So here's the thing. You guys rolled initiative, but I want to talk about what happened last session because it was kind of wild. You wind up in this shadowy shadow plane, which you determined through a mysticism check is the shadow plane. And there's this bluish, greenish, like kind of turquoise-ish fungus all over the place. There's a fallen tree. And I actually want to describe the ceiling because we left that out. I know it's weird that there's a ceiling.
Yeah, we never talked about the sky.
Yeah, we never talked about the sky. It's a ceiling. So if you look up, probably about like, I don't know, like 50, 60 feet up, you can pretty clearly see a rock ceiling. Like, you're in a tunnel.
Okay.
Yeah. Which,
from our understanding of the Shadow Plane, because it's the Shadow Plane in Starfinder, right? It's not Shadowfell?
Correct.
Okay. So it's the Shadow Plane. And from our understanding from our mysticism checks, we are basically where we would be on the material plane, just on the Shadow Plane.
That is correct.
Okay.
So essentially you guys somehow entered the shadow realm, the shadow plane, excuse me. And, from what you know, like you said, you're probably in the same exact location, but you have just like plane shifted.
And again, we're in the shadow plane. There's no Yu-Gi-Oh here, right?
Everything's good in that respect. Cool. Copyright. Yu-Gi-Oh, please don't sue us. But we are in the Shadow Plane, and there is a moment where you guys are speaking with Graham, where this little girl presents herself, and she comes out, and she, and this is the little girl that the players and the listeners would recognize as the initial shadow corruption that kind of infected, quote unquote, Graham at the beginning of the campaign. And I think you did some sort of detect alignment or like.
Oh, I didn't even get that far. I attempted to smite evil and it was not evil aligned.
There we go. Okay. So you know that this little girl is not evil, but you killed her, assuming that she was the shadow corruption.
With a natural 20, just straight out murdered her.
Yes. And so this little girl dies in Graham's arms. She falls into his arms as this little shadow, wispy, ethereal creature. And her wisps of shadow just kind of fall to the ground and disappear. As that happens, Graham notices way in the back, like way, way, way down toward the bottom of the map, even farther than where you guys entered, there is a wolf that is watching him. And Graham notices this. The wolf is made of black, shadowy substance. And this wolf actually will descend into the ground.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And with that, Graham will go ahead and take his first action, which is to take a 5-foot step back, pull out his weapon. And
I'm just imagining that Emma like has Graham's character sheet open and is just like about to let all hell rain loose.
Yes, that is exactly what is going to happen.
Cool.
As
a player, Emma, don't forget that you can use his combat tracking ability to add his level to his attack bonus.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It is a move action, though, so you can't use it this round.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to being Emmett now.
No, you're fine. I appreciate that because I'm not super familiar with Graham as a character. So he takes a 5-foot step back so as not to provoke an attack of opportunity from Snazdaka. And with rage in his eyes, he shouts at you, Emmett, and he says, "You killed her." And as he's stepping back, he raises his rail gun.
Yep.
Advanced rail gun. And he is going to fire at you, Emmett.
Cool. I remember, but he's got a real high combat bonus, so I'm nervous.
Okay, it's a low dice roll. Can you guys see the dice roll that I threw in the chat?
I rolled an 8.
Okay, cool. I'm glad that you can see that, actually. His bonus is going to be... does a 20 hit your... Let's see, is that EAC? No, it's KAC. Hit your KAC?
It does not.
Yeah, okay. So, he shoots this massive railgun at you with anger in his eyes, and maybe it glances off of your armor.
Yeah, I was imagining it like hits him in the shoulder and just
pew. Yeah, and so it's this big gun he pulls as he's stepping back. And it just the bullet ricochets off of you. So that is his turn. The next up is Snazdaka. What are you gonna do?
So Graham just took a shot at Emmett, yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
I am, from a narrative standpoint, I'm so glad that Snazdaka is going between Emmett and Graham.
Snazdaka is going to cast supercharge weapon on himself.
Okay.
And then he's going to command his... Wait, where did my hover disk end up?
Ooh, good question. We should put a little marker on the map for that, huh?
Also, I can't seemingly click Snazdacker.
Oh, it's because... Oh, let me try this. Can you try that now?
Oh, there you go.
Cool. So your hover disk, I believe we mentioned, was around where this...
The girl was,
and I think that's where this like tree stump is that is just in front of the fallen tree.
Yeah, I'm gonna run over to my hover disk.
Okay.
Get on top of it.
Okay.
And then have the hover disk take me over. Oh shoot! What did I do? What just happened? Oh, there we go. Okay. I want to go over here.
Beautiful. In that moment, you see Graham. He's quite angry. And Snazdaka, you would probably notice that his anger seems fueled by something other than his own personality. Can you give me a mysticism check on this?
Yes, I can. What is my mysticism? It is a plus 13. All right, here we go. Oh, no, there we go. No, that's a D12. Oh, I guess that's the one. There we go.
Oh, not much. I thought I was going to do it again.
30-20.
You believe that part of Graham's anger is coming from his shadow corruption that he has. And you feel like he's probably not thinking rationally in the moment. And also in that moment, you look down at the ground to see some of the mold begin to unite. It starts moving slowly, and then it starts moving more quickly, and then all of a sudden, the mold comes together to form...
Swear to God, if you say it's one of those spike creatures.
Four different mold creatures. And they are now surrounding you, Emmett.
Cool. Yeah.
And the first mold attacks.
Ah!
This mold will...
Inside joke, is it yellow?
Oh, good question. no, it is not.
Oh, not the bane of my existence. Good.
No, it is a blue, like that same bluish turquoiseous color that most of the mold is. It seems like bioluminescent as well. And then on the tips of the mold, because it's starting to form these like tentacles, the mold has like purple tips. Very trendy, very fashionable. Very gay, like super gay haircut.
Okay, so on a scale from 1 to Branderson Glooper.
I hear he's gay. So this fungus mold thing takes a 5-foot step, which is, it's a large creature, takes a 5-foot step and rolls to attack you, Emmett.
Is a 5-foot step the same as a guarded step?
No, in Pathfinder, it's still a move action. You cannot attack twice with a 5-foot step. So really, it is a guarded step. It's just Pathfinder, you like don't.
It consumes a move action. It's not free, but it's exactly identically to a 5-foot step.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, what I was asking is because I have a reach, I cannot make that opportunity.
No, not yet. I mean, if it were to, no, it cannot. Because it was already within your reach. No, it wasn't within your reach yet.
It would still have been in, and I feel like because in normal, if he wasn't taking a guarded step or a 5-foot step or whatever it is, if he was moving within my reach, I can still make that attack, because otherwise he would have to tumble.
So, currently the creature is 10 feet away from you, which is actually within your reach. No, not within your reach. It's just at the edge of your reach. So I believe the way that works is the creature stepping in once doesn't take that attack of opportunity. Is that correct?
As long as it's only moving once.
Yeah.
With the 5-foot step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it moves again, then you're provoking again.
Yeah. That's okay. Cool. That's what I thought. Thank you.
And I technically can attack it from 10 feet away.
Right. Nonetheless, it's still, yeah. You can't take this attack of opportunity. Another cool trick I wanted to show you guys about Fantasy Grounds. It's a little annoying that you can't do it with like a keyboard, quick key or whatever, but it's actually super helpful. And it becomes faster the more you practice it. If you guys just right click right now, and then you see the diagonally downward facing arrow.
Yeah.
Click on that. And you can make a cone, a circle, a square, or an arrow that shows distance. And all of these actually show distance. And then when you're like, I don't want to do it yet, or I want to get rid of it, then you can just click remove pointers and it will get rid of that.
It's not working.
Really?
I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Huh,
I can do it.
Okay. How am I supposed to draw?
Click and drag.
Mm-hmm. Just click with your left.
Yeah, it's not working.
Dang it. Okay. We'll try to figure it out later. But hopefully that's something that we can do, because I found it helpful for me. Okay, it's going to attack. 14 on the die for 25 to hit your KAC.
Oh, yeah, that'll hit.
Okay. You will take...
Oh, no.
Hey! Like 5 bludgeoning damage, and I need you to give me a DC 14 fortitude save.
Pretty easy one. So I'm going to take 0 bludgeoning damage, because I have ER 5.
That's fine.
And... I'm going to make a what save?
You're going to make a fortitude save for me.
Is this
DC 14? No.
Damn it. Oh, and yeah, okay. Cool. A lot. 16 on the die plus 6, 25.
You pass. All right.
Did I say 16 on the die? I meant 19 on the die.
Okay. Yeah, it passes. And then blue mold number 2 takes a 5-foot step.
Oh.
And actually, no, they don't do that. I'm sorry. They are going to full attack against you.
I love that. So
it's a 14 minus 4, so 10 plus. So does 21 hit your KAC?
It does not.
Okay. And then lower. So nope, blue mold number 2 does not do anything against you. And then next up is Emmett. That is your turn. It is your turn now.
Excellent. I will recall that I still have my smite evil active.
Mm-hmm.
In the event that these are aligned evil and I roll a natural 20, things will sounds happen. Good.
Cool.
I am not going to use my photogenic node because I already used it on this and I don't want to spend another thing, right? That's how that works. Yes, once I've expended. We haven't short rested for stamina, so I'm not going to use it. Okay, I'm just going to attack twice.
Okay.
Once on this, I can draw a circle though. once on this guy. Oh, that once on the two that are. Oh no, nope, nope, nope. Sorry. Once on these two.
You know what? Give me a moment. I want to see if there's a pointer type thing. You know, well, let's figure it out later. But yeah,
I wish I could paint.
Me too.
But basically, I'm gonna attack these two.
Beautiful.
First one on the one to my south.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how about a 21?
That's it.
Cool. Oh, that's pretty good damage.
Okay.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, it's pretty good damage. It's 21 damage.
Okay. Thank you.
The slashing variety.
Cool. That is against Blue Mold 2.
Yep. And then on, it'll tell me their names. Cool. Blue Mold 3 is the second attack.
Cool.
And it's higher. It's a 27 hit.
That's a hit.
Okay. Thirteen plus 11 is 24 points of slashing for that one.
Okay.
Oh god, I've used so many of my things. It's okay. This is fine. Yep, that's my turn.
Okay. So next up is hey Mitch, is the gain is all the way up on your mic, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay. No worries.
Here, I can move it closer to me.
That's a lot better if you don't mind.
Is that better?
That's beautiful.
Okay, cool. Sorry.
That's like no, you're good. Like that's the distance in the future that you want it away from you.
Yeah.
Love it. Mics are tricky.
Yep.
They take some getting used to. So next up, that is your turn. We go to Blue Mold 3. The one that you just attacked.
Yep.
It will take a double attack against you. Nat 1.
Hey.
Great. I love this.
I'm guessing that it is not named and thus doesn't get a fumble card.
No. Natural 3. We're doing great, Mold 3. Keep doing you, buddy.
I just imagine that Emmett sheared off the limb of it that's closest to him. So it's trying to attack from behind because it hasn't reincorporated yet.
Yeah, narratively, that makes sense. Okay, the next step is mold number 4.
Oh, right, there's 4 of them.
Yeah. mold number 4 takes a 5-foot step in and then goes ahead to attack once. Does a 21 does not hit your KAC, does it? All right. You have a 22 or a 23?
I do have a 22.
Okay.
You gotta roll an 11 or higher, Emma.
Yeah.
Which is good odds for me so far.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is the mold turn. Then we go to Graham. Now, at the top of the round, something interesting happens. Everybody give me a perception check.
Okay, I'm not great at those.
How about 28?
That'll do it.
I hit the wrong button. It's gonna be 12.
That will do it, actually.
Oh, that's good.
So, appearing from the ground. Just behind Emmett.
I don't like it.
You're in trouble, boss.
Hey, Emma.
Uh-huh.
Point of order.
Uh-huh.
Where is Malika?
Oh, fuck.
I just thought I'd ask. She
really good question.
She turned into shadow. Is she stunned by all of these happenings?
You know, I forgot about
Malika.
Is she
actually a tree?
You know what?
In case the listeners were asking about, continuity of story.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. She rolled a 2 on her initiative check.
Okay.
So we're gonna get Malika in here. I'm sorry, you guys.
How dare you?
Malika, strong arm at a 2. Okay. She's on the board somewhere. You know what? We're going to say she is around there on the board. Now, after the blue mold attacks you, Emmett, Malika takes a move action to get on top of Remus.
Okay.
And then Remus, her wolf, steps forward 1 square. And Malika pulls these fiery chains from her waist and like whips them out. And she's super badass. And she pulls out these chains and they start burning with flame. And as she whips out her chains, she screams some unintelligible battle cry and then whips her chain at the mold.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you, but your cat's food is stuck on the pillow.
What? Oh my goodness.
Her paw was stuck to the pillow.
And oh, it was? And she's okay.
Yeah, she's fine now.
All right, so she's going to roll a hit. And come on, Malika, don't let me down here. Oh, let's go. Okay, so with a 26 to hit against KAC, Malika swings her burning chains at this mold number 2, I believe. Yep. And she's going to deal 2d8 plus 12 fire damage. So that is going to be 19 points of fire damage, and mold number 2 burns and dies.
Yay!
And then next up, your perception checks. We can edit that in, edit. behind Graham, this dark, shadowy wolf emerges from the ground. And at first glance, it seems to be just a regular wolf, maybe looks a little mangy. But then you begin to see that it starts to rear up and stand on its hind legs.
Oh.
And the wolf then towers over Graham, who is already a tall person, and bipedally walks right next to Graham, bares its teeth, and bites into Graham's neck. Graham screams. And you see this wolf merge with Graham.
Oh.
And upon that, Graham's turn begins again. We're at the top of round 2.
This is fine. Come here, kitten.
And you see Graham scream in rage and probably pain. And these claws that are made of shadows extend from his fingertips. He drops his weapon as a free action, and this almost wolf-like face made of shadows extends from his normal features. And then you see his legs contort and bend and crack until he's standing slightly taller but hunched over. And then Graham growls at you, Emmett. And he jumps about 30 feet into the air. Lands right next to you, which you can take an attack of opportunity because he is going through all of your 10 feet of movement.
Cool, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Cool, I don't like
24.
That is actually, is that a hit? Hang on just a moment.
Oh. Oh, I don't like it.
That is a hit.
Cool. I like it. Huh? 21 points of damage.
Okay. Noted.
Oh, no, sorry. 22. 22 points of damage.
Noted. And as he lands, he slashes at you with these shadow claws.
Ooh, that's fine.
Ooh, that was almost a nat 20. 40. That is a 27 against your... Oh, wait, 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 wait. Hang on. Oh. I need to look
at... She's like, there's more!
But wait, there's more.
Yep, 27 to hit your KAC. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that will be... give me a moment. I need to look something up.
It's never good when the GM is like in the process of rolling damage and they have to look something up.
No.
Just as an FYI, it's always a bad thing. And I know it's a worse thing because Emma's trying not to grin, but she's grinning. And I am nervous. Oh, Phoenix.
It's Lyra. Okay. Damn. Okay, that's what I thought. Damn.
Uh-oh.
Okay, you're going to take 2d6 plus 4. So 11 slashing damage against... Wait, you.
Did you say 2d6 plus 4?
Yes. I'm sorry. That's 9 plus
13.
Thank you. 13 slashing damage against you.
Cool. So I will take... Unless is this magical slashing damage?
Nope.
Okay, so I will take 8.
Okay. Kitten, you're in my way. I love you. I appreciate you, but please go somewhere else. Thank you. Okay. 2d6 plus... Yeah, okay. 13 points of... slashing damage. That is Graham's turn, and he is just in front of you, growling, and drool is dripping from this, like shadow drool is dripping from his new shadowy wolf mouth. It's quite unsettling. And the next up is Nasdaqa.
Oh, great. This,
oh, God.
All right. Yep, we're going to do it. I'm going to use a move action to use the magical hack in power weapon to sacrifice a level 2, sacrificing a level 2 spell slot because I don't have any level 3s so left.
Excited. Oh, man.
And
this is your combo.
Yeah, this is the wombo combo, but it's a little lighter than I would like. And I'm going to level this, my artillery laser at Graham. Sorry. Oh my God. Which is now dripping with incandescent magical energy. And Snazdackle will say, "You was my best friend, and now you's clobbering on my new best friend." And then he's going to open the fire. And hopefully I hit. That would suck if I don't. Let me double check my BAB. Okay, so I'm at a plus 10 to hit.
Okay.
Here we go. That'll do.
That'll do it. That is a hit. Go ahead and roll your amazing damage.
Let's see here. I gotta double check because I haven't really used this gun. There we go. Roll. Forty points of damage.
Cool. All right, give me a moment.
Wow.
Hang on.
And my weapon has the ghost killer property, if that matters.
Thank you. Just a sec, sorry.
Wow. Whoa.
That was with rolling a couple ones there.
Uh-huh. Wow. That is a wombo, if I have ever seen one.
Yeah.
All right. Graham is still looking terrifying. And turns his eyes over to you for just a moment, Snazdaka. Growls, and then looks back at Emmett.
Wow. That's unsettling. Okay. At that point, I gotta look up an action economy here. Okay, it doesn't appear to take an action.
Okay.
So, would you consider it a free action for me to just simply fall off the hover disk if I were to give it a command to do something else?
I could see it going both ways, but I think that's fair.
Okay. Yeah. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to command my hover disk to run over to Emmett and to scoop him up.
Okay.
And then I command the hover disk to obey his commands.
Very cool.
So you now have a hover disk in front of you, Emmett.
Okay.
And I am on foot. That is my turn.
Okay. I love it. Next up is blue mold number one. Full attack. No, just one attack. Okay, that is going to hit you, yep. Emmett. For... What did we say? Kitten, you're sitting on my notes. She has to be involved.
So they could...
No, here's my notebook. Okay. You take 9 points of bludgeoning damage, and I need you to roll me a fortitude save.
So I take 4 points of bludgeoning damage.
That's so awesome.
It is cool. For any listeners out there, who don't know why Emmett is only taking some of the damage, it's called damage reduction. He has DR5, I believe, right?
Yep, DR5.
Against physical attacks?
against, yeah, physical attack.
Okay.
Or I guess in Starfinder terms, it's DR5 dash.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah, and it's from the deflective reinforcement weapon armor upgrade.
Okay. Cool.
My fortitude, not great. How about an 8?
That's a fail.
Cool.
Just a moment.
Oh, unless it's mind affecting, then it's a 10.
It is not mind affecting.
Cool. Then it is just. Yeah.
All right. Sorry, this is taking a little long. Okay. You feel yourself becoming sluggish. And so you are going to now take, I'm going to send you the, what's it called? The stat sheet for this. It's in the Zoom chat. And this mold reaches out and buffets you with, the, not buffets you, bludgeons you with its tentacle. And then as the tentacle hits your body, some of the poison seems to seep through your armor. And that poison makes you feel sluggish. And so you are now the condition sluggish. And you will need to give me a fortitude save every round.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up is blue mold number two. Blue mold number two stays where it's at and attacks Malika this time. That is a lot. It's a hit. All right. That is 13 damage against Malika. Malika's going to roll a fort save. Yes.
What does sluggish do?
Let's take a look.
It is not in the conditions table on the hidden tree.
Minus two penalty to reflex saves and dexterity-based ability checks, attack rolls, and skill checks, the DCs of your spells. I'm going to send this to you.
It's not good.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Malika is now afflicted with the same thing. Thankfully, she has Remus to move for her.
No. Great. Oh.
Okay.
Ah, okay. So it's, I should have been looking at the dex poison track instead of the conditions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry about that. My bad.
That's okay.
Okay. Then next up is Emmett. What you gonna do?
Okay. Dexterity-based ability checks, comma, attack rolls, comma, and skill checks. Is that dexterity-based attack rolls, or is it all attack rolls?
All attack rolls.
Okay, so it's all attack rolls.
No, that's wrong. It's only dexterity based. My bad.
Okay, cool. But when I'm flat-footed, ooh,
that's not good.
Not fun.
Nope.
Yeah. I feel like in this case, Emmett is like, I don't know what this hover disc is for, and he's just going to attack twice because he's kind of like starting to feel that battle fugue alongside the sluggishness.
I mean, you would have seen me using it to float around.
Oh, for sure. But Emmett is not a bright boy, and he does not put things together very well.
Okay.
That's fair.
So he's going to attack twice. Okay. Once at Blue Mold 4 and once at number 1. Okay. Actually, that's a lie. He's going to attack twice at Emmett. Or okay. Graham. He's going to attack twice at Graham. Okay. Going to attack himself twice.
No.
Okay. That's probably gonna miss. It's 16.
16 is a miss.
That's also gonna miss. It's lower.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's your turn?
Yep, that's it.
All right. Blue mold number 3. Blue mold 3 will stay where it is and attack you. Yeah, let's go for it. We'll go for twice.
And then what does full attack do again?
Full attack is a minus...
What does flat-footed do, I mean?
Flat-footed is a minus 2 against... it's minus 2 to your AC, I believe.
Okay.
I'm not sure what else it is, but that is, as far as I know, the most significant thing about it.
You can't make attacks of opportunity.
There we go.
There it is.
Thank you.
And I think there's... a penalty to dex-based stuff.
Oh, man. It is... Oh, no, that's fine. Okay, I want... Flat-footed. Minus 2 penalty to AC. No reactions or attacks of opportunities.
There you go.
23 to hit.
With a minus... Even without the minus 2, that would hit.
Okay. All right. So then you will take... Max damage, 14 points of bludgeoning damage.
So I'll take 9.
Okay. And the second attack is a miss. Oh, wait, maybe not with flat-footed.
No, it's going to be hit with flat-footed.
21 against Casey.
Yep, that'll hit.
All right, so Blue Mold 3 reaches out twice with two of their tentacles and two of its tentacles and strikes you.
So narratively, are we saying that this blue mold reconstituted its front arms and is now just beaten on me for cutting off its other arm?
Yes.
Yeah. Minimum damage though.
Yeah.
Minimum damage. So that is going to be 5 points of bludgeoning damage,
which is 0.
Cool. Okay. Cool. So that is blue mold number 3. Blue mold number 4.
Oh, right. There's more of them.
Give me a perception check, please.
Me?
Everybody.
Okay.
Bad. Bad. Hey, 23 for stats.
Nice.
17. I forgot I had a plus 13.
Both of you notice as... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
Okay, both of you notice. Graham breathes heavily just before this mold's turn. Breathes heavily and then kind of roars in your face, Emmett.
Mm-hmm.
And as he does that, this blue mold seems to like come to life a little bit and takes a couple steps towards Nasdaqa.
Okay.
Does it leave? Oh, I can't. Never mind.
Whoa.
I was going to attack, but I am flat-footed.
I just threw my d20 off the screen. And it's, like, gone from everywhere. It's not even in the dice. Oh, I got it now. Okay. What's happening?
You rolled
natural
two.
Natural two. So it misses Snazdaka entirely. But this mold has stepped toward you, Snaz.
All right.
The next step is going to be the top of... Oh, nope. Malika. And Malika sees that the mold is stepping toward you, Snazdaka. She looks at you and makes eye contact with you as if to say, you good, bro? You can respond if you'd like.
Snazdaka, his eyes have shifted from their normal color to a very foreboding black. A lot of spit is dripping out of his massive jaws, and he just nods vigorously.
Okay, cool. And she will then shift her focus back to this blue mold, and she readies her chains, and she will attempt a full attack against the mold. Okay, first one is definitely a miss. Second one is crit fail. So give me a moment. God. I want to get the crit fail cards.
That's not good. Oh, this is not good. Yeah, we're fine.
I mean, you guys are probably fine because you didn't take any damage pre this combat.
I gave you a way to escape.
Yeah, you did, and Mitch understands that. Emmett is confused. Oh no, that is not a good face.
Okay. This is a really, really, really bad crit fail.
Oh?
It got a piece of you.
Uh-oh.
Apply your weapon's critical hit effect, if any, to yourself.
Oh, no.
She's got a really good critical hit effect.
Stop it!
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, maybe it's not as bad as I thought. It's still not great. It's not good. Malik takes her chains. She swings them a couple times, swings them at this mold, and then her chains glow in flame as if she's going to strike this creature critically, as if she has almost landed an excellent hit against this creature. And then she shifts on her wolf. And as she shifts, she slips just a little bit. And the chains whip back and strike her in the head.
Oh, God.
And the weapon, this is not good. The weapon has the fatigued property. And so she cannot run or charge. She cannot take a minus penalty to AC, or she takes a minus one penalty to AC, attack rolls, melee damage rolls, reflex saves, initiative checks, and strength and dex based skill and ability checks. And she reduces her encumbered limit by one bulk. So honestly, it's not horrible considering she's sitting on her wolf.
Yeah. Could be worse.
It could be a lot worse. Yeah. Okay, well, that's Malika's turn. And we're back at the top of the round. With Graham. Give me a sense motive. Anybody.
Okay. Let me...
How about 27?
Snazdaka rolls a... 17.
Nice. Okay. Graham seems to be emerging a little bit from this creature, and you can see this sort of internal struggle play out externally. And you see that the wolf is trying to take control of Graham's body. And then you see Graham kind of try to shake his head and fight it off. And this wolf is then pushed back. And then you see Graham again try to take control. And then the wolf takes control again. And then it's this internal struggle that's kind of playing out in real time right in front of Emmett. And with that, we are out of initiative. All of the blue molds just quietly seep back into the floor. And Graham says quietly, in a more growling voice than usual, "Please, please stop." He puts his hands out kind of in front of himself between you and him, Emmett.
Mm-hmm.
His claws that were shadowy retract into his fingers. His face becomes normal again. His body contorts back into his normal human looking self, and he falls to his knees.
Can Emmett reach out to catch him?
Yes.
And in so doing, Emmett will drop his greatsword so that it lands point down into the ground.
Okay. So he stops attacking and he falls and says, "I understand now. She was dead long ago, but she didn't know. She was already dead. Her soul was taken by something evil, and it was used as a front to trick me. This poor, sweet, innocent child, unaware of the monsters manipulating her like a puppet. She was already dead. And he's just quiet and looking at the ground.
Knowing that it's not going to work anyway, Emmett is going to cast his last third level.
Okay.
To cast Remove Affliction on Graham.
Okay. You see this like shadowy wolf like kind of shimmer, it like the silhouette of this wolf appear and shimmer around him, and then it like gets sucked back into his body.
Now that's interesting.
Why did you come here? Were you looking for me?
You know, that is, it's a probably better question for Snaz Gak over there.
Malika actually says, "We came here because of me, but Snaz Daka, did you have anything you wanted to say?"
Snaz Daka will take a step forward and he what is going on now? I can't click my guy again. He'll take a step forward and his eyes begin to swirl back from a black to their normal average color. And he will say, "You stupid git! You ran off by yourself
and left us to fend for this entire place all on our own. We ain't gonna leave you down here in this here dark.
Graham just looks at you, walks toward you, says, I'm sorry, friend. I thought that I could save them. But I think I have a reason for being here. And I don't think if I even wanted to leave, I could. And he looks down at his feet, which are still glued to the ground by this blue mold. And he says, whether or not you came looking for me, I'm glad that you found me. Maybe I can do something here to stop this evil that's happening.
Hey, Emma.
Yeah.
As he says this, Emmett progresses one step on the poison track.
Oh, can you go ahead and roll a
fortitude save? Yeah, I already did, and I failed.
Okay.
By a lot. So all right. I progressed one track.
Are you immobilized now?
I am not. I am stiffened.
Okay. Now.
So I lose my plus zero dexterity bonus to my AC.
Okay. Graham continues. Maybe I was meant to be down here. I don't know. But since I can't leave, maybe I can try to do something here that would help. Where are we? What is this place? Are we just in the tunnels? In the mines? It doesn't look like any mines I've ever known.
We know what this place is at this point, right?
You do. You know this is the Shadow Plane version of the asteroid that you're on.
Well, you really are the dumbest human I've ever met. You ain't in the mines. You ain't a shadow plane. You know of any fungus that attacks people's feet and anchors them to the ground? And you call yourself a scientist, do ya? What is it you hope to accomplish down here anyway?
I don't know, but I don't think I can leave. He tries to pick up his feet. And then he says, maybe if we're in the shadow plane, doesn't that just mean everything here is just a mirror of everything in our normal material plane? Is that what this is? Are we just in the mirror right now?
Yeah. That is how I understand it to be.
Then maybe if something brought me down here, then maybe it's tied to this place, and maybe I can find it, and maybe I can do something to help, but I can't stay in this. I'm in the mines, I'm in the tunnels, I'm in the mirror of this asteroid. Maybe I can work my way back up to the hotel, or whatever sick version of the hotel lives on here in this plane. I think I'll do that.
You want me to say anything to the rest of the boys?
It's up to you.
What kind of a stupid answer is that?
He kind of looks down and he says, I'm not sure that they really needed me.
Please come down here and risk all next to come find you, and you don't got anything to say to anybody.
No, you're right. You're right. Tell them thank you for coming down here and for giving me a new purpose. I'll do what I can. And then he looks at Malika and he says, why did you come down here? You said that you came down here for a specific reason. What is that? Malika just responds, clearly there is a deep evil here, and I am tasked with trying to right that wrong, trying to snuff out that evil, put out the flames, so to speak. Everybody give me a perception check.
As we're doing that, Emmett will say, well, if there's evil that needs smashing, I'm down.
Okay.
Snapstacker gets his one.
I get a 32.
Or okay. No, that's a 6. Sorry. That's
okay. 6. So, first off, quick note. One other thing Malika would have said, which I just want to point out for listeners and players, but characters don't see anything weird with this. She just says, we followed the tunnels down here and they just led us to this pit where you were standing. As if there was nothing to do with those strange scene creatures that you run into.
Oh, yeah, which Emmett has forgotten at this point, because
exactly.
Why are there scratches on my sword?
Yep.
Oh, wait. Emmett set a reminder in his communication device.
He did. I think you said every 5 minutes, right?
Yep.
It's probably been 5 minutes.
Okay.
And now that combat's over, you're probably able to check it. What does it say?
It says, hey, stupid. Don't forget about the spiky arms.
Okay. Cool. Does he say anything to the rest of the party?
Yeah, he's going to say, any of you remember, you know, smashing or looking at some spiky arm dudes?
Malika just looks at you. No. And then she just turns back to Graham.
I mean, if you guys don't think that means anything, I'll just, like, you know, delete this reminder, because I don't know why I said it. And Emmett will delete his recurring reminder.
Okay. And
that's that cool wonder aloud. I'm surrounded by idiots.
Malika, then, oh, I'm sorry, not Malika, Emmett, you notice that there seems to be a slightly different patch of land right exactly where you came in. The different thing about it is there's an almost indistinguishable haze that floats just above that one area. And there seems to be a dark shimmer, like almost like it's someone threw like a navy blue paint over a dark blue floor and then added glitter on top of it. There's this slightly darker point in the ground that seems to be shimmering, and there's a little haze over it. Give me a mysticism check.
Yeah, I was going to say, can I do a mysticism?
Yeah.
Dirty 30.
Okay, you would think that that is likely a gate from one plane to another. And knowing what you know, where you are and where you came from, it's probably where you entered, and it probably leads right back to the material plane.
Yeah, so this is, like, real fun and everything.
but I don't feel good. And I would really like to get back to, you know, the wolfy guy, because he seems like good at healing things. And right over there is a nice, it's like the mouth of the material plane. Like, we can go through it and get into the material plane. And I think we should go through it.
Malika nods and says, I hope we find whatever evil we seek. Nonetheless, Graham, I hope you stay well. I wish we could provide you more help. Maybe you could try to come through the gate with us.
Can I make a mysticism when she says that?
Yeah. What are you looking for?
Knowing what I know and seeing what I saw, like with trying to put Graham on the hover disc,
mm-hmm.
does that even seem possible?
No, not at all. He's not going to be able to make it through.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it seem dangerous to try?
Probably not dangerous, just like not possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to, you know, burst anyone's bubble, but that's not going to work.
When you say that, Graham takes a couple steps back, picks up the rail gun that he dropped during combat, straps it against his back, walks over to Snazdaka, and offers you a hand, as if to shake your hand.
Snazdaka will consider the hand for a moment of hesitation.
Emmett is gonna like go and then with two of his arms shake and like mime shaking a hand.
Yeah, that's right, you ugly git. I know what he's trying to do.
When he does that, he commands the hover disc to just fly around in circles around the room with Emmett on it.
That's fair.
Snazdaka will shake Emmett's hand, but like
Graham's hand.
Be trying to crush his hand a little bit.
Okay. You see Graham look a little bit softer than he has in the past. Something within him over this recent experience has caused a slight softening of personality. And he looks at you and says, I guess I'll do what you're doing, but here in this plane. I hope we see each other again, and I hope that we can help each other in the future. I'll miss you.
Yeah, yeah. Don't you come to the mushrooms down here. Don't be eating them either. They don't look too good. They're already trying to eat your feet.
He looks down at his feet, looks at the mushrooms, and gives like an awkward smile, and then says, thank you. I'll keep that in mind. And
it's better, because Wayne's coming back here to figure this out, and he's going to bring you back to the hotel.
I'd like that. Maybe not the hotel, though, yeah? Maybe take me somewhere quiet in the back worlds.
Yeah, I still got to teach you how to make squeezing to get proper strong.
And he turns around, does one of these things, like a peace sign with the from behind. So he's not looking at you. He's just acknowledging you. He's holding up like two fingers as if to say good luck, but he doesn't say anything out loud. And he walks deeper into the tunnel and you see him start to slope upward as he walks. And then before he's out of distance, out of seeing distance, before he's out of sight, there we go, words are hard. He turns around and he just looks at you, Snazdaka, nods, then looks at Emmett and Malika, turns around, and walks off. And I'm assuming you guys are heading back to that gate?
Yep.
Okay.
Before we go, Emmett is going to try to, like, in maybe like a small pocket or pack on his belt, he's going to try and collect a specimen, like a full, like, small mushroom with a little bit of the soil to try and bring back with him.
Sure. Yeah, you can attempt that.
What do you want me to roll?
I think survival.
Okay.
Also, can you give me that other that next fortitude save?
Yeah, yeah. Can I give you the survival first? The survival is 25.
Oh.
I don't like how you said that.
Oh no, I was just saying your survival was what your fortitude probably should have been.
Yeah, The fortitude is 8.
Mitch.
So I am now staggered.
All right. You are staggered. And you are, hang on.
Which you are means
one away from immobile.
Yes. I can take a single move or standard action. Except that this, yeah, I'm staggered, but can take purely mental full actions. Oh, okay, I understand.
Okay. So, just so that we know for the future, I'm just going to put this out there. If you make it to immobile, which it sounds like is a possibility, you can continue to attempt a saving throw as a full round action to revert to stiffened.
Yep.
And then I believe once you are stiffened, you then make one more save and then you're cured.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm going to push things forward a bit. You walk back through this portal, this gate to the material plane. And in front of you are all of these creatures with talons on all four of their limbs, just staring. And
at this point, Emmett is going to say, you guys think that this is the spiky dudes my reminder was talking about?
Yeah, that's right.
Malika's just gulps.
Emmett's gonna take his communicator out and take a picture.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Of them, and then set a new reminder. Don't forget the spiky dudes, and don't delete this.
Okay. Yeah, and they are just staring at you. And you're able to... the other important thing to note is that Graham is no longer physically there on the material plane. When you first arrived, physically, he was standing in this pit.
Mm-hmm.
But he is now gone. And you're able to walk back up the slope from the bottom of the pit up to the top.
I imagine at some point I should make a save.
I'll let you know. Yeah, I'll let you know. And you make it to the top of this pit, and you notice the only other opening in the tunnel than the one you came in seems to slope upward slightly. Again, if you do look away from any of these creatures, you forget them, and then you will probably catch a glimpse of them. However, they don't seem to be leaving the pit or leaving the area around the pit. They seem to be all along the tunnel that you came through to get here. And then they're just at the pit hanging out. And they're very docile right now. They're just looking at you. But you're able to work your way to the tunnel and start to walk back up. How are we doing?
As we're walking, Snazdeka sees these creatures again, and as we're walking back up, he's like,
"Get out of here, you stupid pests! You're always underfoot looking all creepy like."
As you say that, two of them just very gently step closer to you. Not in a threatening way, but then they tilt their head and they like look closer, and then they pull back a little bit, and they just kind of step back, still looking at you.
Snazdeka, do you have like, you know, some brain thing you can do to like get more information about these things?
I don't know if I have any spell slots left. I am so low. Yeah, actually, I have 3 level 1 spell slots. That's all I have left. So, Snazdeck will respond.
Hey, are we going to bait here for a tiny bit? Is that what your goal is?
They don't seem to want to smash. So, I think we're good. Just don't insult them anymore. I don't know if they liked that.
Snazdeck will reclaim his hover disc. He'll sit down on it cross-legged and cast Akashic Download as he travels out on top of it.
Okay.
And he's going to attempt to learn about these creatures.
Okay. As you do so, now, are you looking at these creatures as you... Now, my main question would be, are you still in the room with the pit as you cast this, or are you leaving that room and going into the tunnel that's sloping upward as you do this?
I think we'd be on our way up.
Okay. So, you find yourself casting Akashic Record, but you can't remember why. And you start seeing these visions going through your mind and downloading into your personal computer momentarily, where you see these strange taloned creatures that look to be these tall humanoids with featureless faces. And you just get a large, blank nothingness in the Akashic Record.
Cool. That's... I don't like it.
That's not how that's normally supposed to work.
Okay, wait. As a GM, though, I did that right? As a character, you're saying that's not how that's supposed to work.
But, yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. Continue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I guess I just kind of expected something more amazing, because normally your stuff is, you know, flashier.
And you forget about these creatures.
And I imagine every 5 minutes on the way out, we remember them and then Yeah, we're not supposed to forget, and then we forget. And
well, you don't remember them. All you see is a reminder of this strange creature.
It's a picture? Okay.
You still have the picture. You still can see them. However, you have no idea what they are.
Okay. Oh, man. Oh, I don't like that.
So, you work your way back up the tunnel. As you work your way up through the tunnels, Malika's with you, and you start to recognize some of the rock structures that you would have passed as you were going toward the room that you almost entered before the cave-in occurred. And these tunnels are, it's hard to tell exactly it's hard to tell exactly if those tunnels are the same tunnels that you noticed, because you would be seeing them from a different perspective. You'd be seeing them from a different location. But you might every now and then pass a tunnel and be like, oh yeah, I think I remember that. I'm not really sure. Maybe that's the right way. And you keep walking, and eventually you get to a small room, and Malika turns to you, Emmett, and says, that photo on your device, I'm afraid I need you to send that to me. And she holds up her communicator on her wrist. And basically the way this would work is like an airdrop.
I'll airdrop it to her communicator. Okay.
And she takes it, she looks at it, and with a disturbed face, she says, well, Remus, she looks at her wolf. It looks like there's something that needs to be investigated further. And she can hardly take her eyes off of her wrist looking at this picture, but she steals her attention away from it. She pulls her eyes away from her device. And then with probably more resolve than you've ever seen anybody have, she like takes her chain, wraps it around her arms as if to store it. And then she takes a little glass ball, and it's swirling with green energy. And she throws it down, and a tree appears out of the ground.
What?
Within the tree, there is an opening large enough to fit Malika and Remus. And then she also gives each of you three glass balls that have swirling magic inside of them. She says, she bows to each of you, and Remus also bows. She says, thank you for your help. I know now that the champions, the paladins, must investigate this further. And she thanks you. She looks at Remus, and Remus just walks through the tree, through this opening in the tree. And then she instructs each of you to use those like glass spheres to restore a little bit of the energy that you put into helping her. And then with that, she walks through the
As she's leaving, Emmett's going to say, wait! Yes. Why do I get the feeling that you're about to go do some real fun, like, fighting and smashing, and you're leaving us behind to do boring stuff?
She just smiles, and she walks through.
All right, then, keep your secrets.
And as she walks through, the tree begins to descend into the ground almost, like almost as if the roots are digging deeper into the tunnel floor. except the tree, as the roots dig deeper, the tree kind of lowers down and becomes part of the floor of the tunnel and then petrifies against the rock. And you now stand before what looks to be the same room that you almost entered, but this time you're about to enter from the opposite side. And that's where we're going to call session. Thank you for joining us again on Galaxy's Greatest. If you're liking the show, please consider leaving a review for us on Apple Podcasts or whatever other podcasting platform you use. We would really appreciate it. Also, if you like our show, you might also like Galesrian's Greatest, which is our sister show, our sister podcast, currently running a homebrew story called Tales of the Witch Boy.